Good morning, everybody. I'm Kinga Jacob with Catherine Wellman and Ali Werbowetsky for Centennial College Radio News. It's a beautiful day today, sunny with a high of -2 degrees Celsius. And here's what's making headlines. Visible minorities are becoming visible majorities in the GTA. France agrees to move their own troops into Afghanistan to help the Canadian troops, and citizens of Zimbabwe anxiously await presidential election results. And now to our top story. Good morning, everybody. It's a beautiful day today, sunny with a high of -2 degrees Celsius. And here's what's making headlines. Visible minorities are becoming visible majorities in the GTA. France agrees to move their own troops into Afghanistan to assist the Canadian troops. And citizens of Zimbabwe anxiously await presidential election results. The cover of the Toronto Star this morning says that in Toronto, over 46% of the population is a visible minority. Markham is on top of this list, with over 65% of its population being a visible minority. Many of them are South Asian. An immigration consultant told the Star that many of them seek political stability and to give their children a better life. A new foundation called the Maytree Foundation launched a program called ABC GTA Program, which pre-screens visible minority candidates to sit on government boards and tribunals. So far, 150 people have been chosen. In provincial news, Education Minister and Liberal MP Kathleen Wynne is taking back her indications that teachers should retire early. Early retirement would risk a significant shortcoming in their pension funds. The Toronto Star reports that Wynne apologizes for this indication. It's not what she intended. And in national news, many Canadians would rather be on a golf course than a skating rink in the dead of winter. But for Zamboni operator Troy Forbes, it's not a question of pleasure, it's a question of business. Dave Bowden reports.
Troy Forbes has worked with the City of Toronto Parks Department for more than 20 years. He applied to drive the Zamboni at Nathan Phillips Square for the first time this year in order to keep working during the winter. While he doesn't mind the job, he says there is one thing about it he could do without.
I just don't deal with the public myself, too. I just stay away.
Forbes says he's a private man who doesn't like interacting with people. For most of his career, he's worked behind the scenes. During his 2 decades with the city, he's performed maintenance, janitorial, and grounds duties. But he says there was one job in particular that he really enjoyed. When he worked as a greenskeeper for the city's golf courses, Forbes says he had everything he needed. Being a greenskeeper allowed him to work at his own pace. Forbes said he preferred the golf course over Nathan Phillips Square because it gave him freedom and privacy.
Yeah, warmer weather. It's just a better atmosphere. Not as many people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very busy down at City Hall here, right?
But he says his favorite part of working at the golf course was the ability to stick to his motto.
Start work early, finish it early.
Forbes says he's waiting anxiously for summer to return so he can get back to his favorite work. But he's happy to wait out winter with the job he has now.
I just go out and flood the ice and... that's it, basically. It's an easy, no-brainer job.
Dave Bowden, Centennial College Radio News.
And in world news, the Star reports that police found the body of a 22-year-old Canadian man in Perth, Australia. His body had washed up on the rocks of the coast. Police say it will likely take weeks to formally identify him.
Here are your sports updates. The Raptors lost to the Atlanta Hawks last night 127-120 in overtime. The game was tied up after Hawks guard Mike Bibby scored a three-pointer with only half a second left. To make things even more exciting in Phillips Arena, TJ Ford had on the buzzer shot that would have given the Raptors the win. The basket was disallowed, keeping the game tied and bringing them into overtime. The Raptors managed to get themselves ahead, but Bibby struck again and forward Josh Smith got a three-pointer, bringing the score to 122-118. After this, the Raptors just couldn't catch up. They play again tomorrow with the Charlotte Bobcats at the ACC. In local basketball news, the U of T women's basketball team went into the Athletic Center Wednesday night looking to dispatch the winless RMC Paladins. The Blues, playing without three of their starters due to injury, looked to their bench to pick up the slack. Matt McKay reports.
Toronto on the ball for most of the night as the Varsity Blues crushed the RMC Paladins at the Athletic Center 67-25. The win puts the Blues on top of their division, 2 points ahead of their rivals from York. Blues head coach Michelle Belanger was clearly impressed with her players' performance.
I think they're working very hard, and I'm pleased with a lot of the progress, and I hope that we can get to be more communicative out on the court, and that would be our biggest weakness right now, is that we don't talk to each other enough while we're playing. And if we can get that piece going, I think we're going to be in pretty good shape.
Co-captain Christine Cho led the Blues offense with 18 points. She said the game proved just how deep their bench is.
The team is pretty deep, and that's, like, this proves it, right? So, everyone contributed, and it was really good.
But starting next weekend, the league-leading Blues schedule gets a whole lot tougher. Four of their last six regular season games are against two teams right behind them in the standings, York and Laurentian. The Blues will first travel to York and Laurentian this weekend, followed by games at Ottawa and Carleton the following weekend. But first place will most likely be decided during the final weekend of the season in Toronto when York and Laurentian come to town. If the Blues manage to hang on to first, they will have dethroned their rivals from York, who have won the division the past 3 years. I'm Matt McKay, Centennial College Radio News.
The Jays beat the Yankees 5-2 last night at Yankee Stadium. This was pitcher A.J. Burnett's first starting game of the season. He was strong for the first six innings, but began to falter in the seventh. Burnett has had his fair share of injuries throughout his career. He has been on the disabled list 10 times in the past 10 years. This brought the Jays to a one-win, one-lose season so far. They lost to the Yankees 3-2 in New York on Tuesday. They will play New York again tonight at 7:05. The Canadian women's soccer team is getting closer to their Olympic dreams. They beat Trinidad and Tobago yesterday 6-0 at the Olympic qualifying tournament in Mexico. The women are a favorite for reaching the semifinals, where they would play against the league's top teams, Mexico, Jamaica, and the U.S. This would be the first time the Canadian women make it to the Olympics. They play their second game against Costa Rica on Sunday. In hockey news, the Pittsburgh Penguins beat Philadelphia 4-2 last night to come out on top in the Atlantic Division. This is the first time since the 1997-98 season that they have won in their division. Penguins defenseman Ryan Whitney told CBC News, quote, "It's huge to win at home and win the division against a rival. I'll bet everyone in here says it's our best win of the season." That's it for sports. We will be back in a minute with a look at entertainment with Allie.
Every time my relatives visit, they eat me out of house and home. Oh, there's my Uncle Louie. Whenever we have a cookout, he has 2 double cheeseburgers, 3 helpings of baked beans, 6 hot dogs, and a diet soda. It's ridiculous. Oh, and talk about like father like son. You should see Cousin Freddy. Every time I turn around, he's got his face in the fridge. This guy doesn't just snack between meals. He snacks between salad and the entree. I'm sure glad I stop at Winn-Dixie, because they have low prices on everything in the store. Meat, produce, baked beans, everything. Hey, it's important for me to save money on groceries, especially when my Aunt Sophie's idea of a light lunch is anything she can pick up with a fork. So, from the bottom of my pocketbook, Winn-Dixie, I thank you. Oh!
All right. Thanks, Catherine, and good morning, everyone. Well, it looks like the world of TV has cause to celebrate a milestone anniversary, as well as a few first-evers tonight. First off, it turns out Jimmy Kimmel is funnier than we gave him credit for. The talk show host of the talk show Jimmy Kimmel Live is set to hit the 1,000-episode mark this evening. No one gave the funny man any credit when the show first aired in 2003, and predicted a short run of only a few episodes. But Kimmel made it to 1,000 and managed to get a very witty lineup for tonight to celebrate. The episode, which is set to air at 11:35 on ABC and City TV, will star Eva Longoria Parker, Kid Rock, and Richard Simmons, just to name a few. And if you think Paris Hilton has done it all, think again. The glam queen has taken over Hollywood already, and now she's itching to take on Hickville, too. Hilton will guest star alongside Jason Lee in a new episode of My Name is Earl. Tonight, Earl, played by Lee, will wake up from the coma he endured just before the writer's strike. Hilton will be there to comfort him. It was announced yesterday that Elvis Costello will host a new talk show and music series that will air on City TV in Canada. The show will be called Spectacle and made up of 13 one-hour episodes. It will include one-on-one interviews, panel discussions, and musical performances. Spectacle is set to start production soon and will air its first episode in December of this year. And locally, in real life, Toronto recently hosted its annual Winter City Festival. There were many exciting events held during the festival's two-week run. One of the more unique aspects this year was a performance of Alice in Wonderland staged in Nathan Phillips Square. What set this performance apart were the actors. They were perched atop stilts high above the crowd. Jill Clausen reports.
The royal plot! Then chop off her head!
That was a taste of what audience members could expect from the Theatre Gorgeous production of Alice in Wonderland. The theatre troupe from the Netherlands put a new spin on Lewis Carroll's classic story. This retelling took center stage at Nathan Phillips Square. The audience gathered to see the 15-member troupe perform with live musical accompaniment. Unlike a regular play, however, the audience became a major part of this moving set. According to a representative for Theatre Gorgeous, this means that the viewers are as integral to the performance as the actors, costumes, and musicians.
Performing in the middle of the crowd, the spectators are within touching distance of the actors and so become part of our scenery. They are seduced and then drawn into the captivating and moving story.
Although they were on stilts, troupe members were close enough to touch the audience. The children in the crowd cheered for Alice and ran away from the Queen of Hearts. The members of Theatre Gorgeous have traveled all over the world performing for children just like those in Toronto. This version of Alice in Wonderland follows closely to Carroll's original story.
Follow Alice into the weird but wonderful world of Wonderland amid odd creatures and whimsical characters who try to convince you that they only exist in your imagination. The unexpected storyline twists and turns promise to entertain fans of all ages.
Thanks for tuning in. This is Jill Clausen, Centennial College Radio News.
And that's all for me. Now let's send it back to Kinga for the wrap-up.
Thanks, Allie. I'm Kinga Jacob with Catherine Wellman and Allie Werbowetsky for Centennial College Radio News. Have a good day.